Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the little epistle of Philemon, which is right before the book of Hebrews. Philemon. I want you to imagine with me for just a moment that you are a slave owner at Colossae. Now, you're saved. You're Christian. And it's just part of society. Now, if Philemon was in our day and time, they would want to cancel him, wouldn't they? And I'm certain they want us to cancel him. He can't be no good. That book can't be no good because it's talking about a slave. But yet, slave ownership goes all the way back. I mean, it goes way far back. It's a part of life. It's still a part of life today. They don't want to acknowledge it. In fact, they will praise Muslims and Islam, and they have a great deal to do with slavery even today. Let's imagine how hypocritical they are with that. But you are a wealthy man. You're a church man. You're saved by God's grace. You're a leader in the church. In fact, the church is operating in your house. You host it. You got that big a house. You got slaves, but one of your slaves has run away, been away for some time too. And then that scoundrel comes back. You've been looking for him all over the place, can't find him anywhere. And he comes back and he hands a letter into your hand. That's what we have here. We have a slave by the name of Onesimus, who was Philemon's slave. And he is carrying this letter back to his owner, who, quite frankly, would probably be very upset with him. And no telling what was on his mind to do to Onesimus. But let's take a look at this epistle, and there's a story within it, and we'll look at it as we go along. First, we see the salutation of the letter. Of course, the writer is Paul. It says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother." Now, Timothy, at this stage in Paul's life, he was leaned on heavily by Paul to write. Paul was having difficulty with his eyesight. And this is the only one of Paul's epistles in which he referred to himself in the salutation as a prisoner of Christ. Seven times in his other epistles, he calls himself an apostle. Three times he calls himself Christ's servant. And two times he used nothing at all. But this is the only time you'll find him, he calls himself a prisoner of Christ. Paul was actually a prisoner of the Roman Empire at this time. But it was because of his witness for the Savior. And no doubt, Paul's son in the faith, Timothy, was the one who helped Paul pen this letter from himself. And so he shared in the salutation here. But as we get into the letter itself, it's easy to see that the message is primarily from Paul, even though Timothy had to help pen the thing. Now we see the readers. He says there in the middle of verse 1, "Unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house." So we see Paul primarily addresses Philemon. He's the one the letter is written primarily to. All that is known of Philemon in the New Testament is that he was a convert of the Apostle Paul, who is addressed by Paul here as being dearly beloved and a fellow laborer. He was an integral part of, and even a leader in the church in Colossae. Now, Philemon is thought to have been wealthy, and we gathered that from reading this. Number one, because he had a church in his house, and you'd have to have a pretty big house to house a church. And he had slaves. Onesimus was one of the no doubt many slaves that he had. We see Apphia, most likely the wife of Philemon. If you're going to address Philemon, this is going to concern her too. I mean, she's part of the family. And so it's believed that it was Philemon's wife. And then Archippus is a believer and minister in the Colossian church who is addressed in Colossians 4:17 in this way. It says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." And so Archippus may have been, it's thought he may have been a son or another relative of Philemon and Apphia. I tend to think that he was addressed here because no doubt Philemon, if he had questions about this letter, he was probably going to go to his pastor and talk to his pastor. So he would probably be one of the readers of what was going on here. And then the church which met in Philemon's house. No doubt there's parts of the letter that were read and cherished immediately, really. And you'll come to understand that in a few moments. We see the greeting there in verse number 3. It says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is Paul's usual greeting. We see it quite a bit. And the word order is important. The word peace expresses a spiritual state that denotes a proper relationship between God and man. And the peace is the effect of only one cause, and that is the grace of God in one's life. You can't truly have peace unless you've got the grace of God that's been extended to you. No peace apart from grace. Peace with God comes by means of faith. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the peace of God, which is an experiential condition, comes from the indwelling and infilling ministries of the Holy Spirit in one's life. And so that's part of peace too. I mean, we have peace with God. That's the primary one. You better have peace with God. If not, you're at enmity with God. And then when you have peace with God, God's Holy Spirit comes in and fills your life, and He's in control of your life, that you can express that, experience that peace of God. Now we see the commendation. First of all, the thanksgiving. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 7 here, but the thanksgiving is found in verses 4 and 5. It says, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints." And that's going to become important here in a few minutes. When Philemon probably read this the second time through, might have felt like Paul set him up right there. Okay? Because he's going to make an appeal for Onesimus based upon Onesimus' faith in the Lord. But this thanksgiving, Paul gives thanks for three things here: for Philemon's love to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as believers, we ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and ought to be evident in our actions as well as in our talk. Amen. And then for Philemon's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man of faith. He believed God. He trusted God. And that's important too. I mean, you can do some things, if you're a person of faith, you can do some things that you ordinarily might not do. You can trust God to take care of things. It's important. And for Philemon's love of the saints, and as I said, it may be an unintentional setup, but it was a setup. Okay, that is very important there. Philemon did love the saints. He loved people that had relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was one of the reasons why he loved the Apostle Paul. And we see the prayer there in verse number 6. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And that's a mouthful right there. I want you to think about this. As Philemon would gain a fuller understanding of his blessings in Christ, he would become more effective in sharing Christ. That makes sense, doesn't it? You know? The closer we draw to Christ and the more we're blessed by Christ, the easier it is to talk about Christ. The more a believer comes to comprehend all that he has in Christ, the more eager he is to share Christ with others. And then we see the testimony there in verse number 7. He says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Philemon's love resulted in joy and encouragement for Paul and others because Philemon had been a source of refreshment to the saints. No doubt there were probably, this was not the first exchange of a letter, this letter came with in Onesimus' hand, and until he opened the letter, he didn't have any idea what he was about to read. We see the body of the letter, verses 8 through 12. Look at verse number 8. It says, and I'm going to read this and we'll come back and take a look at it. Verse 8, "Wherefore," he says, "though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." He says in verse 10, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." Skip down, let's see, no, let's go ahead and read verse 11 and 12 too. "Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels." Then skip down to verse 16 and 17. He says that he's talking about Onesimus. He says, "Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." Now, we see Paul at this point gives his recommendations to Philemon regarding this runaway slave that stands before him, Onesimus. And throughout this plea, the apostle's words were courteous, yet they bore a note of authority and earnestness. He wasn't going to pull rank, but he wants Philemon to know, "I could pull rank and order you what to do," because he was an apostle. But he didn't do that. He revealed an important double truth here. Onesimus was now a son in the faith to Paul. And then, number two, Onesimus was now a brother in Christ to Philemon. Both of those are important. As a person in the Roman Empire, understand that Onesimus was in the lowest social status in the Roman world. A slave with no rights. Slaves had absolutely no rights. They were considered chattel. They weren't considered people. Okay? Considered, that's your property. They were your property. That's not the way the Lord views them, though. They were people who had a soul who needed to be saved. Nevertheless, Onesimus was now, as a believer, think about this, he was on a spiritual plane equal with his owner Philemon and equal with the Apostle Paul. Okay? Brothers in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in the one Spirit." Bond or free, if you're in Christ, you're one. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." So this is not a new thing that Paul came up with. He expressed it to other congregations. But we see his plea here is not a command. Again, look at verse number 8. He says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient." Wherefore is a key word in Paul's plea. Philemon's love that he had demonstrated to all the saints should now, at this point, should include Onesimus. And Paul acknowledged here that he could have ordered Philemon as to what to do with Onesimus based on his office as an apostle, but he did not do that. Now we see this plea is for love's sake. He says that in verse 9, "Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Paul's appeal here was on the basis of love. Philemon's love for Paul and love for Onesimus. Paul refers to his age, trying to garner maybe sympathy. I don't know. Was he trying to pull the heartstrings of Philemon? Well, it's just natural for us to try to do that, isn't it? But nevertheless, he referred to his age and he refers to his imprisonment once again. I think it's one reason why he started out, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ." He mentions his imprisonment up front and now he mentions his imprisonment again. And we see he's pleading for Onesimus. And we see this plea for a spiritual son. Look at verse 10 again. He said, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me." Now, only Timothy, Titus, and Onesimus are referred to as Paul's sons in the Scripture. A special bond of affection normally exists between a believer and the person who God used to bring them to Christ. You know that's the case, right? I mean, think about the person that led you to the Lord. Or the person that was instrumental in you coming to know the Lord. Ever how you want to put it. But Onesimus was a common name for slaves and means useful. No doubt, as he was working for Philemon, he had been a useful servant in his service to Onesimus. But by running away from Philemon, this slave had become the opposite of his name. The exact opposite. He had become useless to Philemon. But the words "but now" suggest a change resulting from his new birth. After his salvation, Onesimus became profitable to Philemon and profitable to Paul. We see this plea was from the heart. Verse number 12, he said, "Whom I have sent again." And that's how we know that here Onesimus is with the letter in hand and has delivered this to Philemon. "Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels." This is the verse that suggests Onesimus the bearer. Philemon would not have opportunity to think over Paul's request before seeing Onesimus, you know. If he had sent it some other way, he could have thought it through, and then next time he saw Onesimus, you know, he might have reacted differently. But right here before him stands Onesimus. We see this plea was from a partner. That's what we see in verse 17. He says, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." If Philemon rejected Onesimus, it would be like rejecting the Apostle Paul, his friend, his fellow worker, his brother, and even partner in the gospel ministry. And you know that would go against the grain of one like Philemon. We see the relationship here. Look at verse 13. And he's talking about Onesimus here. He is sending, verse number 12 talks about how he is sending back. He says, in verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as if it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he, therefore, departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. A couple things here. Let's go ahead and read on verse 16. He says that they should receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. We see the present brotherhood between Paul and Onesimus. If Onesimus were kept by Paul, which Paul would have liked, Onesimus would have served in the place of Philemon. Now, Philemon probably would have loved to have been able to go to serve for the Apostle Paul. And as we saw in the last chapter of Paul's epistle, remember when we were at the end of 2 Timothy, and we were taking a look at the end of Paul's life, and that last chapter of Paul's epistle to Timothy, we know Paul could have used some assistance, right? We talked about that. And he called for some help. He needed some help. Now, knowing that a slave was his master's property, Paul had no choice, really, but to send Onesimus back to Philemon. Paul did the right thing in sending Onesimus back. Now, we see the past brotherhood between Paul and Philemon there in verse 14. He said, you know, I wasn't going to do this without your mind. Look at verse 14 again. It said, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. He wasn't wanting to put Philemon on the spot. Retaining a slave could really only be done by obtaining the owner's consent. And he could have kept Onesimus and sent somebody else with a letter asking if he could keep that Onesimus had gotten saved, and could he keep Onesimus to serve in his place, but he didn't do that. He did the right thing in sending Onesimus back. And though Paul probably could have talked Philemon into letting him keep Onesimus, he did not want to take undue advantage of their relationship. So Paul preferred that such permission would be voluntary, not that Philemon would feel like he was had his arm twisted, forced into such a thing. Now we see the future brotherhood between Onesimus and Philemon, and really they are brothers in Christ now. Get that, brothers in Christ. In Christ, there's no bond or free. You know, neither bond nor free, but one. There in verse 15 to 16 says, For perhaps he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Think about it. You know, when somebody gets saved, it has an effect on them as a person, doesn't it? It does. It ought to. And Philemon's temporary loss of his slave resulted in his having him returned permanently. And Paul was contrasting Onesimus' former status as a slave with his new relationship to Philemon as a brother. And his service now, no doubt, what would flash in the mind, what Paul was trying to draw for Philemon to think about, is that Onesimus would be serving out of love now. Love for Christ. And we've seen in other places in the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians how, you know, you're, if you are a servant, you're to serve as if you're serving the Lord. And that goes to our employment too. If you're an employee, you're to serve as if you are working for the Lord. In other words, give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, right? And so we see here that a great new relationship between Onesimus and Philemon has developed through Onesimus coming to know the Lord. Now we see the pledge there in verse number 18 and 19. And let me remind you in verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. You think he would receive Paul? Oh yeah, he would receive Paul. Is it a tall task to ask for him to receive Onesimus as if that was Paul? Well, we might think so, but not really. He's a brother in Christ. And verse 18 points out the pledge here from the Apostle Paul. It says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, and here's the phrase, put that on mine account. Philemon was to charge Onesimus' debt to Paul. Obviously, there was a debt. We're not told how much the debt was, but Onesimus probably told Paul about that. And, of course, Philemon probably still had it on the books, right? You know, he was going to collect one day. Yeah. And Onesimus was in debt to Philemon for a debt that he could not pay. That's a picture of a sinner, isn't it? We owed a debt that we could not pay. Paul was not involved in any way with Onesimus' debt. The debt was not his. Wasn't his to owe. And that's a picture of the Savior. The Savior came to take our debt. He didn't owe that debt. We owed that debt. And he came to take our debt. And we see Paul assumed Onesimus' debt. And that's a picture of the atonement by our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here on the cross of Calvary, he offered the atonement for our sin. And Paul is wanting to satisfy this debt. And Paul wrote it in his own hand. And that's a picture of security. You think that he believed Paul would carry through on this? He knew Paul's character, didn't he? And I'm sure he saw that as security. I don't think he ever collected that from Paul, though. Philemon was to consider his own debt to Paul. Look at verse number 19. He says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. There's the security. He says, I will repay it. There's, again, the security. He says, albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. we're not given the total picture of what this is, but it's believed that Paul was probably responsible for bringing Philemon to the Lord. And that would be, you think about the person that brought you to the Lord, what if they hadn't done that? Where would your life be? Philemon was to refresh Paul by this. Look at verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. That's unusual talk for us. Receiving and restoring Onesimus would give some benefit to Paul in the Lord. Philemon had refreshed the bowels of all the saints, according to verse number 7. And what does that even mean? Think of it as a satisfying a deep need or desire someone has within them. You can't get much deeper than the bowels, can you? I mean, that's deep within. And how could he refuse the Apostle Paul in this? Well, Look at verse 21. We see Paul here believed that Philemon would go even beyond what he had asked. Look at verse 21. It says, "Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." And this is the conclusion here, that he's bringing the letter to conclusion. It's believed that this was written during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, from which Paul would be released from that first imprisonment. And then, you know, Paul asked for Philemon to prepare lodging for him, and Paul asked for Philemon to pray for his release. If you were at odds with the Apostle Paul over what just transpired, you'd have difficulty doing both of those things, wouldn't you? Well, I ain't doing nothing but that stinking scoundrel. You know, trying to make me give up my slave. But that's not the attitude we get. And I don't think that's the attitude that Paul thought was going to come his way either. We see Paul send greetings from others in Rome. Look at verse number 23. And again, when you get to the end of Paul's letters, this is the way it is. He mentions people. And he says, "There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." So Epaphras was in prison right there with Paul, and he was sending, he was from the church at Colossae, and he was sending his greetings. Also Marcus, who's believed to be John Mark. Aristarchus, who is believed to have been the one from Macedonia that's mentioned in the book of Acts. And Demas, we are familiar with Demas. Demas at one time was faithfully serving with Paul. Right here, he was faithfully serving with Paul. But as we saw in the latter part of Paul's life, he had forsaken the ministry, having loved the present world. And then Lucas, which would be Luke, the physician, author of the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and Acts, who traveled with Paul quite frequently. And he says, he calls them my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And that's Paul's closing benediction of grace. And what a gracious person Paul really was. What a wonderful, heartfelt letter from the Apostle Paul to his dearly beloved friend and fellow laborer Philemon. But also, what wonderful truths are presented here regarding what Christ has done for us and what we should do for others. It's really an example of Christian courtesy. An example of Christian courtesy. I don't know how the Lord has spoken to you in your heart tonight. But if He has, if He's pointed something out in your own heart that needs to be dealt with, please be obedient with Him tonight, as we are going to have an invitation. I just ask that you be obedient. But what a wonderful letter. And you say, well, what happened to these characters? Well, we're not told in Scripture. But from what I could find, I have some books in my office that they do some research outside of the Scripture also, and it's believed that the ones mentioned here, Philemon, and Apphia, Archippus, and Onesimus were all put to death by way of stoning by Nero because they served in the ministry together. So that tells you, if that be the case, Philemon did look at Onesimus in a different way, as a brother and as a fellow minister and Lord. And they gave their lives, just as the Apostle Paul gave his life for the gospel. They gave their lives for the gospel. May the Lord help us and our lives to be examples of Christian courtesy. Amen. Let's pray. Father,